Listening, Task 1. For items 1 to 10, listen to a business journalist talking about how businesses are increasingly having to accept responsibility for the impacts that result from their activities, and decide whether the statements 1 to 10 are true, A, or false, B, according to the text you hear. You will hear the text twice. You have 20 seconds to look through the items. Now we begin.
Well, corporate social responsibility, or CSR, is a concept that is changing the way that companies conduct their business operations at home and abroad. It encourages companies to adopt practices that are based on principles of good conduct in relation to issues such as sustainable development, climate change, human rights, and ethical business. I suppose you can really trace the beginnings of the CSR story back to some quite specific events which sort of lifted the curtain on businesses, if you like, and showed the darker side of some business operations rather than just the silver lining. Of course, I'm not suggesting that companies were better in the past. Clearly that wasn't the case. Just think of what was going on during the Industrial Revolution in Europe. Anyway, one really big shock was Exxon Valdez in Alaska. On March 24, 1989, the oil tanker Exxon Valdez ran into a reef, spilling crude oil into Alaskan waters. The oil tanker went to ground in a remote territory where there aren't a lot of people. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't a major disaster for the environment. In fact, it's estimated that 10.8 million gallons of petroleum were released into the sea, and the effects of that were catastrophic for the marine environment in that part of the world, and also for the people who made their living from the sea. Tourism spending decreased by 35% in Southwest Alaska in the year following the spill, and visitor spending resulted in a loss of $19 million to the Alaskan economy. 2 years after the Exxon Valdez spill, the economic losses to recreational fishing were estimated to be $31 million. It's true that damages were awarded only in 2008, in other words, 20 years after the events. The Supreme Court of the United States had the final word and reduced the settlement to $500 million, which is not a lot compared to the $5 billion that was awarded after the first court hearing. Well, the lessons from this catastrophe haven't been lost on corporations, and that is the positive side of this, and indeed of corporate social responsibility in general. Companies have to look very carefully at what they do in different parts of their business operations, and they have to put strategies in place which will minimize the risks that they are running. Does that mean that similar tragedies couldn't happen again today? Well, I don't think you can say that, but certainly companies today are more aware of what could go wrong, and that is one step towards making sure that the worst doesn't actually ever happen.
You have 20 seconds to check your answers. Now listen to the text again.
Well, corporate social responsibility, or CSR, is a concept that is changing the way that companies conduct their business operations at home and abroad. It encourages companies to adopt practices that are based on principles of good conduct in relation to issues such as sustainable development, climate change, human rights, and ethical business. I suppose you can really trace the beginnings of the CSR story back to some quite specific events which sort of lifted the curtain on businesses, if you like, and showed the darker side of some business operations rather than just the silver lining. Of course, I'm not suggesting that companies were better in the past. Clearly that wasn't the case. Just think of what was going on during the Industrial Revolution in Europe. Anyway, one really big shock was Exxon Valdez in Alaska. On March 24, 1989, the oil tanker Exxon Valdez ran into a reef, spilling crude oil into Alaskan waters. The oil tanker went aground in a remote territory where there aren't a lot of people. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't a major disaster for the environment. In fact, it's estimated that 10.8 million gallons of petroleum were released into the sea, and the effects of that were catastrophic for the marine environment in that part of the world, and also for the people who made their living from the sea. Tourism spending decreased by 35% in Southwest Alaska in the year following the spill, and visitor spending resulted in a loss of $19 million to the Alaskan economy. 2 years after the Exxon Valdez spill, the economic losses to recreational fishing were estimated to be $31 million. It's true that damages were awarded only in 2008. In other words, 20 years after the events, the Supreme Court of the United States had the final word and reduced the settlement to $500 million, which is not a lot compared to the $5 billion that was awarded after the first court hearing. Well, the lessons from this catastrophe haven't been lost on corporations, and that is the positive side of this, and indeed of corporate social responsibility in general. Companies have to look very carefully at what they do in different parts of their business operations, and they have to put strategies in place which will minimize the risks that they are running. Does that mean that similar tragedies couldn't happen again today? Well, I don't think you can say that, but certainly companies today are more aware of what could go wrong, and that is one step towards making sure that the worst doesn't actually ever happen.
You have 20 seconds to check your answers. Task 2. For items 11 to 15, listen to the conversation between two friends. Choose the correct answer A, B, or C to answer questions 11 to 15. You will hear the text only once. You now have 25 seconds to study the questions. Now we begin.
Ben, do you know anyone who's gone to live abroad?
Yes, Amy. I've got these friends, a couple, who moved to a little village in France, down in the southwest, about 10 or 12 years ago. Yeah, they've been there a pretty long time.
It sounds as if they must be well settled in. What do they do?
Well, they bought quite a big house in the village and set up a kind of walking holiday business. You know, people come in small groups and stay with them for a day or two, and then walk from village to village, staying in small hotels and guest houses and getting all their luggage transported for them.
Interesting. And how have they found it?
They seem to be doing very well. It took a while to get the business going. The first 2 or 3 years were a bit of a struggle, I think. But now they're established and they've got good relationships with the walking holiday companies. I mean, they don't make a fortune, and they make most of their money in the spring and the summer, and winter can be quiet, but then they do get to live in a beautiful French village.
And have they fitted in well? I mean, do they feel they belong now?
Yes, they've really had no problems. They both spoke French already, which was obviously a huge help, and they tried right from the start to be part of the village, you know, getting to know people and going to festivals and events and stuff like that. But the real difference was when they had a baby. I think that's when they were really accepted, and people realized they were there to stay, and the baby was a real star in the village.
So they're planning to stay?
Well, I think so, yes. I mean, they've actually bought a couple more houses, and they're renovating them, And last year, they opened a restaurant, which was the first one in the village. And the first night it opened, they gave everyone a free 4-course dinner, which went down very well. I think they're going to stay. And it's been good for the village, too. I mean, it was really a tiny village, but now they get visitors and a little bar opened up in summer and even a little shop. And it seems to have come back to life a bit, which has to be a good thing.
This is the end of the listening comprehension part. You have 1 minute to complete your answer. Integrated listening and reading. Read the text below, then listen to an interview with an international student doing his master's degree in Russia. You will notice that some ideas coincide and some differ in them. Answer questions 16 to 25 by choosing A, if the idea is expressed in both materials, B, if it can be found only in the reading text, C, if it can be found only in the audio recording, and D, if neither of the materials expresses the idea. Now you have 10 minutes to read the text below. Now listen to the interview and then do the tasks, questions 16 to 25, comparing the text above and the talk. You will hear the talk twice.
Michelangelo Ciracchio came to St. Petersburg University from Italy to pursue a master's degree in strategic and arms control studies. Why did you choose international relations as your field of academic interest?
My area of academic interest is geopolitics and the interactions between states. As I studied the international system, I came to recognize Russia as a great power. This sparked my personal interest in gaining a deeper understanding of the Russian psyche and mentality. In fact, it has become my passion.
How exactly did you come up with the idea of coming to Russia?
My father, a little worried about the political situation, asked me why I wanted to study in St. Petersburg. I told him one main reason. I wanted to understand the Russian way of thinking. All his fears vanished, and he gave me his full support.
Why did you choose St. Petersburg?
St. Petersburg is a very historic city. I knew it as a truly poetic place, and its architecture has deep connections with Italy. For me, Moscow feels like Milan, while St. Petersburg feels more like Naples. Moscow is all about money and rushing everywhere. People there are very focused on finances. St. Petersburg seems to be a more relaxed city.
What are your impressions of learning Russian, since you have a lot of experience in learning foreign languages?
Languages are crucial to me because they represent the soul and mentality of a country. I always knew that Russian is a hard one, and I never imagined that I would make so much progress in just a few months. The Cyrillic alphabet is like a mirror. Some words in Italian and Russian are almost identical because of Latin and Greek influences, just encoded in a different alphabet. That is why Russian looks to me like a puzzle to be solved.
What do you think of the Russian lifestyle? Have you come across any stereotypes?
After coming here, I discovered that Russians really like Italians. I can't recall a single moment when a Russian didn't smile upon hearing that I was Italian, and particularly from Rome. Russians truly love and appreciate Italy. I feel at home here even more than in Canada. I love Canada, but I felt like an outsider there. Russian people are so warm and always ready to help that they have become a piece of my heart. They remind me of home. Some say that Russians tend to be bossy, unsmiling, or cold-hearted, but in fact, after getting to know them, I've realized that they are genuinely open-hearted and sincere, and this feeling grows stronger with each day I spend here.
You'll hear the talk again in 30 seconds. Now listen to the talk again.
Michelangelo Ciracchio came to St. Petersburg University from Italy to pursue a master's degree in strategic and arms control studies. Why did you choose international relations as your field of academic interest?
My area of academic interest is geopolitics and the interactions between states. As I studied the international system, I came to recognize Russia as a great power. This sparked my personal interest in gaining a deeper understanding of the Russian psyche and mentality. In fact, it has become my passion.
How exactly did you come up with the idea of coming to Russia?
My father, a little worried about the political situation, asked me why I wanted to study in St. Petersburg. I told him one main reason. I wanted to understand the Russian way of thinking. All his fears vanished, and he gave me his full support.
Why did you choose St. Petersburg?
St. Petersburg is a very historic city. I knew it as a truly poetic place, and its architecture has deep connections with Italy. For me, Moscow feels like Milan, while St. Petersburg feels more like Naples. Moscow is all about money and rushing everywhere. People there are very focused on finances. St. Petersburg seems to be a more relaxed city.
What are your impressions of learning Russian, since you have a lot of experience in learning foreign languages?
Languages are crucial to me because they represent the soul and mentality of a country. I always knew that Russian is a hard one, and I never imagined that I would make so much progress in just a few months. The Cyrillic alphabet is like a mirror. Some words in Italian and Russian are almost identical because of Latin and Greek influences, just encoded in a different alphabet. That is why Russian looks to me like a puzzle to be solved.
What do you think of the Russian lifestyle? Have you come across any stereotypes?
After coming here, I discovered that Russians really like Italians. I can't recall a single moment when a Russian didn't smile upon hearing that I was Italian, and particularly from Rome. Russians truly love and appreciate Italy. I feel at home here even more than in Canada. I love Canada, but I felt like an outsider there. Russian people are so warm and always ready to help that they have become a piece of my heart. They remind me of home. Some say that Russians tend to be bossy, unsmiling, or cold-hearted, but in fact, after getting to know them, I've realized that they are genuinely open-hearted and sincere, and this feeling grows stronger with each day I spend here.
Now you have 5 minutes to finish the task and transfer your answers to the answer sheet. This is the end of the integrated task. Now you can start working on your reading task.